In the name of Jesus. Philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world. What in the world is the great apostle talking about? Saint Augustine, in his Opus Magnum, City of God, cites these very words from Colossians 2, verse 8, in his probing expose of the close link between the idolatry and the gross carnality in ancient times. Plato, Varro, Porphyry, and many others developed philosophical systems to set forth a worldview. The gods, many and diverse, figured prominently in all their systems. Augustine speaks of two kinds of theology in those systems. The fabulous theology, as he calls it, of the poets, acted out in vile and shameful theatrical performances in public, and civil theology, which cultivated the public piety toward the many gods of the empire, one for every aspect of life. It is of this whole vain patchwork of pagan religion, replete with everything from temple prostitution to homosexuality, that St. Paul speaks in warning the Colossians against being kidnapped by such elemental spirits. It is to introduce this warning that the apostle begins, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." How many lay people, and pastors too, have studied these words with a kind of frustration, perhaps tempted even to dismiss them as pious and high-sounding, but irrelevant to today's world. But the words that follow see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and vain deceit. Reveal that Paul's gentle words contain a stern warning, not against the sins of the flesh per se, such as lewdness and fornication, but against the doctrine of demons connected with all those sins, which would turn believers against Christ. Is there a warning here for Christ's holy people today? Consider the demonic temptations that assail the church and her people. Temptations of the flesh abound indeed. The red wine in the cup that bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. The easy availability of 100 drugs to turn the heart of the believer from family and faith. Pastors, parents, responsible politicians, and all others responsible for the welfare both of the earthly city and the heavenly city, agonize together over the attacks on everything that is of God. And of these threats, by far the greater is that which, boldly or subtly, would denigrate, discourage, and destroy faith in Christ, through whom alone there is forgiveness of sins and the sure hope of the resurrection to eternal life. To be expected are the assertions of the ungodly and the unbelieving, who advocate the coexistence of religious systems that have nothing in common with each other. What does eternal hope in Christ have to do with a religion of civility, politeness, and political correctness? What concord is there between Christ and Belial? Articles of faith such as creation, holy baptism, the Lord's Supper, eternal election, and the like aren't even in the vocabulary of the religion that is dominated by demonism. But still more offensive are the asseverations of those who would call themselves Lutheran, both being confused and causing confusion about the line between the worship of the one true God and the non-Trinitarian God of Islam and Judaism. When one's religion is, in the words of Paul, not according to Christ, that is, when Christ is not at its heart, a religion of monotheism means nothing. Don't stick out like a sore thumb among the religious. A mantra that might have served equally well in the ancient world as it does today. Against this backdrop, St. Paul urges Christ, who alone is all in all, the fullness of what the church has ever to offer to a dying world. He is not merely a teacher of good manners. Rather, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You have been filled with him who is the head of all rule and authority. How does that happen? Answer, we are buried with Christ by baptism into death. In developing this matter about baptism, the apostle invokes circumcision, the cutting away of the guilt of sin that is part and parcel of our very origin. Through it, God sealed his promise of salvation to Abraham and his descendants and bestowed every blessing of forgiveness and life. Then Paul takes his readers and hearers to the circumcision made without hands. This circumcision puts off the body of the flesh. Here is a great mystery. Through the holy bath of baptism, the body of flesh is put off. Baptism is a sign. Luther says it this way in the Catechism, it signifies that the old Adam in us should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die with all sins and evil lusts. And again, a new man daily come forth and arise who shall walk before God in righteousness and purity forever. Baptism signifies. But as Luther was fond of saying, it not only signifies, but it accomplishes that which it signifies. That is why, in this same section of this same small catechism, he explains a baptism, it works forgiveness of sins, delivers from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe it. as the words and promises of God declare. Let the church and her ministers especially ever hold fast to this. Christ, the apostles, the early church could have dissipated all their energies in a fruitless attempt to remedy the horrific social and political conditions of their time, but they didn't. Instead, they gave themselves single-mindedly to preaching Christ, his salvation, his forgiveness. Loud voices today still castigate the church for following their lead. We know all that. Don't preach to us. Help us with the problems of drugs, teen pregnancy, pollution, and international strife. As you have opportunity, you must indeed give aid to the brother in need, and even to one who is not a brother. But you have something to give him that he can get nowhere else. The word of life from the mouth of God. You are the mouthpiece of God. Your business is to preach not the things that man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. That preaching has power. Power that neither you nor another can explain, because it is attended by the Spirit of God. For it is through the foolishness of preaching that some believe and are saved eternally. Amen. In the name of Jesus.